How many was glad when you said, let's go to the church? If you weren't, I can tell you a good way to get that way. Don't turn on Facebook on Sunday morning. God bless you. You can be seated. It is good to be in the house of the Lord today. I always enjoy coming to church. Amen. And I hope to continue to do that all the rest of my life. Amen. Well, it's good to know God, and it's good to know that God knows me. I want to get right into my subject this morning. I want to go to John, the 8th chapter, and verse 31. Amen. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. I want to talk about know the word. It's important to know the word. It's important to know what the word says. There's a line from a movie, and I have not seen the movie. I don't even know what the name of it is. But there's an attorney trying to question a witness and trying to get to the truth. And the witness looks at him and says, you can't handle the truth. Some of you probably saw it. I haven't seen it. Truth is all important. Truth is all important. Pontius Pilate asked Jesus, what is truth? What is truth? I believe there are many today that desire to know the truth, especially when it concerns salvation. I believe there's many that are looking, searching for truth. You know, what do I need to do to be saved? What do I need to do to stay saved? Amen. I want to talk about God's word today, which is truth, and the importance of knowing the word of God. When you read the word of God, you're reading truth. And don't let anybody ever tell you that the word of God is not true. It is infallible. The word of God is infallible. Amen. And I want somebody to know today, if you can handle the truth, this truth can set you free. I love the Word of God. I love to read it. I love to teach it. I love to hear it taught. Got my Bible. I've got two or three Bibles on my iPad. I've got one on my cell phone. Got them on my computers. Love the Word of God. And I want to say I love Pastor McGuire, Sister McGuire. Love his ministry. I love his compassion. And I just don't know if you can find any better. And I'm not just saying that. I believe that. And I've also enjoyed the ministry and teachings that we've heard from our local ministers the last few months. I've enjoyed Brother Durwalt, Brother Kane, Brother Jared McGuire, Brother Sonia. I've enjoyed it. And listening to them, I have a renewed hope that if the Lord tarries 20 or 30 more years, the truth of the gospel will continue to be taught with compassion and without compromise. Amen. In an age where truth is being compromised and even perverted, I am excited to know that the truth is still being taught, and to know that in this church, the truth is going to be taught, amen, and know that it will remain true, amen, without compromise, with boldness, with the power of the Holy Ghost. I just can't express enough that I want to know the truth. I want to hear the truth. I want to be taught the truth, amen. Through the Spirit of the Holy Ghost. And I consider it an honor to be included with these men of God, and of course our pastor especially. And I really honestly feel the least of all of these. But I say to our pastor today, Pastor McGuire, preach the truth. Don't ever let anything compromise the truth. Preach it with power. Preach it with boldness. Preach it without compromise. I want the truth of the Word of God in me, because I know the truth of the Word of God is going to carry me on. Amen. And I'll tell you, the truth of the Word of God is life-altering. It will change your life when you have the truth of the Word of God. Knowing His Word and obeying His Word will truly make you free. Amen. And at a time when the world is going through many changes and upheavals, let me tell you, this world has gone crazy. And some are seeking the truth. I believe that. And then there are others that are seeking to undermine the truth. But I can turn to the Word of God and see what Jesus said about His Word. Amen. Luke 21 and 33, Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away. But my word shall not pass away. When the world is gone, his word is going to still be here, going to remain. The politics that's going on in this world, not just America, but around the world, the riots, the protests, the hatred, the mistrust that are everywhere, the lies that are shaping the world, cannot shake the foundation of truth. Amen. Everything could be shaken, but this is never going to be shaken. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. So I want to know the word of God. When everything around me is crumbling, I can stand on the word of God, and that's what I want. Amen. What must I do to be saved? What must I do to stay saved? In a time that we're living in, there's so much fake news and false advertising, lies, deceit. It's just comforting to know you can still find truth. It's comforting to know that the word of God is still there. It's been said that if you tell a lie enough times, it will be believed as truth. But a lie that is accepted does not make it truth. You might accept a lie today. It'll never make it truth. But when you find truth, lies will have to hide in the darkness from the pit from which they came. Amen. A few weeks ago, a very famous TV evangelist who claims a congregation above 10,000, I believe, made a statement that at first made me upset, and then it made me sad. He said that he had to take the Apostle Paul and Peter and John to task for what they were teaching about sin. He said they were wrong. Amen. I tell you, I thought, you know, who are you to think that you are more righteous, more godly, and more filled with truth than the Apostle Paul, than Peter or John, who had firsthand knowledge straight from Christ, and you today are going to say that they were wrong? Paul, who as Saul, persecuted the church and even... We're standing at the foot of Stephen where he was being stoned to death, and he put some in prison. He had others killed. And on his way to Damascus to do the same thing to other Christians, the Lord stopped him. And the Lord shone upon him a bright light, and he fell down before him blinded by the light. And he only knew one God, that was Jehovah, and there is no other God. So when he looked up and said, "Who are you, Lord, that can help what all the other media wants to say?" The Lord said, "I'm Jesus." See, he had a direct line to Christ. And you're going to tell me he was wrong? Peter, who Jesus trusted him so much, "I'm giving you the keys to the kingdom." You tell me he made a mistake on the day of Pentecost? And John and James? You don't believe that the sons of thunder would have stood up and said, "Peter, you just made a mistake." These men wrote as they were moved on by the Holy Ghost, and this man says they were wrong. I had an uncle that believed in the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues, repentance. He didn't believe in Jesus' name baptism, and so he was talking to Dad one day, and Dad was going through the scriptures, telling him, went to Isaiah, went to John, went to Acts, and was telling him a different one. And then he got to Acts 2:38, and my uncle said, "Well, Peter made a mistake that day." Dad just, you know, almost lost it. To say that there's a mistake one place in the Bible, you might as well throw the entire thing away. Amen. The truth is the truth, and nobody is going to change the truth. Solomon said this in Proverbs 23 and 23, "Buy the truth, sell it not." Also, wisdom and instruction and understanding. How much does the truth cost me? What do I have to pay? Is it $5? Is it $1 million? What does it cost? Whatever the cost, it is worth it to know the truth. It is worth it to find the truth. Amen. There is no sin so enticing to me that it's worth to give up the truth. There's no sin so enticing that it's more valuable than truth. There's nothing in this world. Truth may cost me my friends. Truth may cost me family. But the truth is truth, and it cannot be changed, and it's worth purchasing, praise God. Truth may cost me some of the flesh pleasures that I might have, that I might desire, but buy it and never sell it, never lose the truth, never give up the truth, amen. There is nothing so valuable in this world that it's worth selling the truth. Young ruler came to Jesus and said, what do I have to do to attain eternal life? Jesus said, well, you know the commandments, love the Lord thy God, and all that, honor your father and mother. And the rich man said, oh, I feel so good because I've been doing that all my life. Jesus said, you lack one thing. There's just one thing. Go and sell all you have, give it to the poor, and come, take up your cross and follow me. That is a price too much. I can't pay it. Folks, pay that price now, because in eternity, what you're going to receive, it's the word of God this world needs today. Look at the trouble. Look at the problem. It's such an unsettled world. I'm sorry. It's God's word that this world needs. David wrote in Psalm 119 and 89, forever, O Lord, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. You're not going to change it. There was a bumper sticker some years ago that said, Jesus said it, I believe it, that settles it. Well, that's wrong. Jesus said it, that settles it, whether I believe it or not. Jesus said it, that's done. His word is forever settled in heaven, praise God. It cannot, it will not be changed, no matter how inviting that change might seem to me. I cannot change the word of God. It's the flesh that desires to change the truth. It's the desires of this flesh that draws us toward the false and toward the lies. Amen. It's the desires of the flesh that would pervert the truth. God created Adam, put him in the garden, said, you can have all of these trees but that one. You can eat of all the fruit of all the trees but the one. And what did Eve say? What did it say about Eve when she looked upon that tree? It's desirable. Man, that looks good. I think it would be okay to just reach out and touch that one and taste that fruit. The serpent came along and said, well, sure it is. God's just trying to keep you from, he told you can't have all the trees, didn't he? No, he just said there was just one I couldn't. But, you know, if you eat, you'll not surely die. Just push the word. Change the word a little bit. And we know what happened. Sadly, the many followers of this TV evangelist are going to believe what he said. They're going to trust what he said. Amen. Because it makes them feel good. You know, I can continue doing what I'm doing. But he went on to say that he doesn't deal with sin from the pulpit. What kind of a preacher of the Word of God? Well, I don't want to get off on that rant. I'm just thankful for a pastor that doesn't compromise the truth. I'm thankful for these teachers that continue to walk in the light, teaching the Word of God without compromise. Someone once said, those that rebel against the light can expect no other than to perish in the dark. You can't have dark and light. And where light is, darkness has to flee. And if Jesus Christ is the light, there can be no darkness. Oh, hallelujah. I tell you, the word of God is forever settled. Let's go to Psalm 119 and 103. How sweet, David said, are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts, laws, through thy precepts, I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my pathway. The word will guide me where I'm supposed to go. Amen. If there's a stumbling block in front of me, the word, the light of the Word of God will show me what that stumbling block is. I can't throw the light away and just keep on going. I've got to hang on to that word. I've got to hang on to that light, praise God, and follow the things of God, the truth of the Word of God. And you cannot know truth until you know Christ, who is the light of the world. John chapter 8 and verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Folks, the light is where it's at. Amen. The light of life. To reject Christ is to reject truth. To turn away from Jesus Christ is to turn away from truth. Amen. To reject the truth is to reject the light of life, is to reject eternal life. To reject Christ. John 8:31. I've got several scriptures, and there's so many scriptures I thought about going to in this, but I'm trying to pull out certain ones that really are prevalent for today. John 8:31, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. We cannot be saved without truth. And Jesus said, the truth shall make you free. And he said, he is the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. John 14 and 6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me. I have to know truth. If I'm going to be saved, I must know the Word of God. I have to go into the Word of God and find out what it is. How many college graduates do we have here today? Seriously. Several? Well, I'll tell you what, education is very important, and especially in today's economy. And I admire every one of you that have gone on to higher education. It's important. Don't let anybody tell you anything different. You hang on to that. And if you're wanting more, just keep on getting more. My father and my wife's father also had fourth grade educations. That's as far as they went, fourth grade. They learned to read and write and arithmetic. You know, back the three R's way back then, reading, writing, and arithmetic. But they had to work an awful lot. Way back, you were talking back in the early 1900s when you know, the kids get out of school and go home and milk the cows, feed the chickens, you know, and get up before school and milk the cows and feed the chickens. And they had to work. They had to help support the family. My father and my wife's father may not have been highly educated in the world standards, but they had a knowledge of the Word of God more than any two men I've ever known. They knew the Word of God. They studied the Word of God by a coal oil lamp if necessary. I saw my dad sitting at a table one time when I was about 5 years old, had the coal oil lamp on the table, and he was going through the scriptures, reading the Word of God. And they taught us the truth. And they continued in the truth, and they refused to compromise the truth. And I am excited to know that today this truth continues to be taught and will continue to be taught without compromise. Praise God. I'm so thankful for truth. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Amen. This is a long reading, but tell me if this doesn't sound like today. Is it up there? Can you see that? This know also. Chapter 3, verse 1, Paul writing to Timothy. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. My goodness, we could spend so much time right here. Truce breakers. False accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady. Paul was laying it out. High-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. For this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. My Lord, does that tell us what this world is today? You read those scriptures back in there, and you read the mind and the heart are so cluttered with those things in the first five chapters, there's no room to gain knowledge. There's no room to come to knowledge. I don't like my mom and dad. I can't stand this world. I'm a traitor. I think I'm better than everybody else. I want to go to Disney instead of going to church. I want to go to the beach instead of going to church. I want pleasures for me. I want to do what I want to do. I don't want to have to do what the church says I'm supposed to do. I spent a lot of time on that one, but I'm not going to. Education doesn't always equal knowledge. Now, those of you that are educated, you have a great deal of knowledge in the subjects. I know that. But there was a story of a man that was put in prison, and he was put in isolation. What do you call it when you're all by yourself? Solitary. And he was given a Bible, and that's all he had. They would feed him, but the only thing he had was a Bible, no conversation with anybody. He was in what you just said. And years went by, and he read that Bible from front to back. Cover to cover. Read it over and over again. Read it over and over. When he finally got out, he could tell you how many times the word Lord was in the Bible. He could tell you how many chapters were in the Bible. He could tell you how many verses were in the Bible. He could tell you so much about the Bible that he learned, but he never saw the plan of salvation. He never came to the knowledge of truth. He never came to the point where he said, listen, you got to repent, be baptized in Jesus' name, filled with the Holy Ghost. That's in the Word of God. That's the truth. He never came to the point that he gained the knowledge of truth. To truly know truth, you have to understand the truth. Reading this, when you take this, when you go home and you read this, you're reading truth. But until you understand truth, you don't know truth. And without the knowledge of the truth, we're lost. Amen. The wise man proclaimed in Proverbs 4:7, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Amen. My dad used to talk about people that were very highly educated that didn't believe in the creation of the universe, believed in coming from monkeys. He used to call them educated fools. That was my dad. You'd have to know him to understand that, but that's what he was talking about. But in all thy getting, get understanding. Know the Word of God. Understand the Word of God. Knowing the Word of God and obeying the Word of God will get me to heaven. Amen. I've been in church all my life. I haven't been saved all my life. But I've been in church all my life. From the time I was born, I was either taken, dragged, whatever, to church. But I've been in church all of my life. And it came to the point eventually I really enjoyed going to church. But I had to come to the realization and the knowledge of the truth for myself. It was not enough for my dad to tell me the truth. It wasn't enough for my Sunday school teacher, Sister Besser, Sister Grant, my mom, to tell me about the truth. I had to come to the knowledge of the truth for myself. It's not enough for someone just to tell me, well, that's what you're supposed to do. I was baptized when I was 8 years old. And at 8 years old, I can't honestly say I knew what baptism was all about. I knew it was taught to me I was supposed to do it, and I believed in obeying, so I obeyed and was baptized. When I was 16 years old, we were in a youth service, and our youth pastor was preaching. I was sitting with some young people over here, and I can't tell you what he preached. I have no idea. I can't remember. But I remember he said he started an altar call. Now, I'd heard a lot of altar calls over the years. But this time, something was happening in me. I said, man, something just began to, like, drawing me to the altar. And I didn't. I'm a very shy person, very introverted person. And I didn't want to go down there, and I wanted to go down there. You ever been there? I wanted to, but I held on to that seat and trying to squeeze the life out of that seat in front of me. And he finally told a lie. He said, come on down, nobody will see you. How many times I've been in an altar service? Everybody going to see you, not because they're just, you know, but because they're concerned about you. Anyway, I went down and I began to pray. A few weeks later, I got the Holy Ghost. But I still, after having been baptized and filled the Holy Ghost, I didn't have my understanding opened. And I was 17 years old. I was sitting in my brother's house and reading the Bible. And I opened up the book of John, read John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. And when I got to verse 14, I came out of my chair. Why hasn't that ever been taught before? It's right there. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. That's it. I got my revelation. And you know I have had heard that taught. I had to have heard it. I just never paid attention to it, or it didn't get to me like that day. And I got the knowledge of truth for myself. And everybody has to come to the point that they understand the knowledge of the truth for themselves. Praise God. Let's go back to 2 Timothy, the fourth chapter. And starting with verse 2, again, Paul talking to Timothy. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Paul was telling Timothy about, even right now, but it was even back then, that there will come a day when men will say, don't tell me the truth. Tell me that it's okay to sin like I'm sinning and that it's okay. Tell me what I want to hear. Tell me what makes me feel good. Tell me that what I'm doing isn't really sin. Tell me that Paul was wrong. Tell me that Peter made a mistake. Tell me that all that wasn't necessary. Soothe my conscience so I'll feel good about the way I live my life. Tell me what makes me feel good. Tickle my ears. If I don't hear the truth, then I won't be accountable. Let's go see what Hosea says. Chapter 4, verse 6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me. Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. Knowledge of the word of God. Obeying the word of God means to accept his word whether we like it or not. But I want to go do that. I want to talk like this. I want to drink my booze. I want to... Truth is truth. And will stand when the world falls. And whether we like it or not, it's the Word of God, and we can't go against the Word. Do you know there's a reason that we have standards? Because we want to be legalistic. We want to have an iron fist. Of course not. We want it for our own protection. Do you know why fences are built? All right, they're built to keep the sheep inside the fence. But they're also built to keep the wolves outside the fence. Because once the fences are down, the wolves can come in, or the sheep can go out where the wolves are. We have standards for a purpose, for a reason. And I'm not going to get into what they are, but God's word is tells us to be separated from the world. And his word will separate us. David said in Psalms 4 and 3, but know that the Lord has set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call unto him because I've been set apart. The Lord's going to listen to me. God's going to hear me. It doesn't take a lot of knowledge to find salvation. Hold on. It doesn't take a lot of knowledge to get salvation, but it takes a lot of knowledge to stay saved. It takes a lot of study, a lot of knowledge to stay safe. How many times have you seen a first-time visitor walk through the doors and moved by the Holy Ghost to come down and repent and get the Holy Ghost? They don't even know anything about the Holy Ghost. And they're talking in tongues and worshiping God, and they repented. They didn't even know that that's part of the plan of salvation. So they don't have the knowledge of the plan of salvation yet, But they had a repentant heart, and of course repentance and baptism in Jesus' name and receiving the Holy Ghost is just getting your ticket punched to get on board. Now I'm on the train. I got to stay on the train. And the devil wants to throw me off the train. The devil wants me to get off that train. Amen. Amen. I've been baptized. I've been filled with the Holy Ghost. I've repented of my sin. Now what do I do? I can go my way and do what I want. Living a separated holy life unto God requires knowing the Word of God, staying on the train, knowing the devil's tactics, knowing his devices. God honors a sincere and a heart of repentance, and he'll always come to that person that is willing to repent of their sin. But to stay on that train, I've got to know what the Word of God says, how I should live. And I live that separated life. Amen. Now, we know the Bible tells us that there's joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. God loves a repentant heart. And we can every day have that repentant heart, staying on the train. To come to God is simple. When someone is honest with God and repents, it's easy to receive the Holy Ghost. It took me 6 months. Of praying in every altar service. Either I wasn't honest or I didn't believe. Or I honestly felt like I wasn't good enough to receive the Holy Ghost. Anybody ever been there? If you repent of your sins, you're good enough. Doesn't matter what your past has been like. Once I repent of my sins, I am eligible to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And it's easy to receive the Holy Ghost without having a lot of knowledge that's all part of God's plan of salvation. Amen. The enemy of our soul doesn't want any of us on the train, first of all. And he'll try any trick to throw us off that he can. He'll try and stop you from ever repenting. He'll say, oh, you're too shy to go down there and pray. Hang on. It'll pass in just a little bit, and you won't have to go pray. Just hold on to that seat. You don't have to go pray. Oh, the devil has all kinds of tactics. The enemy of our soul doesn't want us to be saved. Amen. He doesn't want us to be grounded in truth, doesn't want us to walk after the things of God. It takes knowledge of God's Word. Amen. How we should live, how we should act, how we should talk, how we should stay saved. God's Word will tell us all of this. Amen. And that's why sound, uncompromised doctrinal teaching is so important. That's why Sunday school is so important. Worship is so important. Bible study, prayer meetings are so important. It will keep us saved. Praise God. And I don't know about you, but I want to get there. I want to get there. I want to stay on this train. That seventh verse of the third chapter of 2 Timothy again, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Ever learning, never knowing the truth. Because when they face truth, they'll see themselves for what they are. The truth will cause us to confront our flesh and realize we're nothing without him. Many claim salvation, and like the Pharisees, they claim a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. And the word says, from such turn away. There have been many, ways that the gospel has been perverted, but we don't handle rattlesnakes. Some group does that. They drink strychnine. I don't know. God separated Israel to be his chosen people. And he told them, you need to know the covenant. You need to know the Word of God. The Word of God gives us a solid foundation, and we're built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. But if we're going to build on that foundation, we must obey the Word of God. Amen. James 1 and 22, amen. But be ye doers of the Word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if ye... any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. When we refuse to be the doers of the word, we're deceiving ourselves. We think everything's okay, but we're lost and don't even know it. If we're just a hearer of the word only, we see our faults. We look in the glass. We heard the preacher preach, and when he got to that sin that we're doing, yeah, I see it. It's there. I'm a hearer. I heard all about that sin. I heard about what you're supposed to do. But then I refuse to be convicted, and I go my way, and I forget all about that sin. Yeah, he said it was sin, and I heard it. But as soon as I leave church without repenting, without getting my life right with God, I'll forget all about it. But a doer of the word will hear Pastor McGuire lay down the law and preach the word of God, and the conviction will come in the heart, and the first one will be in the altar is the one that got convicted, the one that's the doer of the word, the one that just doesn't gonna hear the word and go my own way, but doing the word. I see my faults through the preaching of the word. God has convicted me of it, so I'm going to make my life right. And we're convicted of our sinful life, but we soon brush off our conviction if we're just a hearer, and we'll forget all about God. We'll forget that He. I remember that night so clearly. God was dealing with me, and I was hanging on to that pew so tight. But if I hadn't gone down, I would have walked away, and who knows where I would have been today. I have to obey the word of God. All right. 2 Timothy again, 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Studying the word of God, knowing the word of God. Many read the word of God. The Ethiopian eunuch was riding along reading in Isaiah. And God put Philip right there, and Philip looked up at him and said, "Do you understand what you're reading?" "Well, how can I understand unless someone teach me?" And so he jumps up there in the carriage and starts in Isaiah and telling the Ethiopian eunuch about Jesus. Amen. "Well, what hindereth me to be baptized? Here's some water." He convinced him. Many read the word of God, but how many truly know the word of God? God has given us a pastor, teachers, and examples that will help us stay on that train. I want to go one more time to Ephesians, the 4th chapter, and he gave, at verse 11, "And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints." Hear that? That's why they're here, to perfect you and I. "For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God." There it is. "Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive us." If it's not in the word of God, it's not true. The devil is a liar, and he's a father of lies. We know that. The world calls for us to compromise. Our flesh calls for us to compromise, but our soul cries out for truth. Our soul cries out, something inside of me says, preach the truth. Hold fast to the truth. Amen. One more scripture, then I'm going to close. 1 Corinthians 15:58. "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable." Tell me a lie, you're not going to convince me. Steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Stand steadfast, unmovable. I was gonna have Harley come up here and try to move me a while ago, but he'd probably knock me down. But when it comes to the word of God, devil, I'm steadfast. I'm going to hold to the truth. I am unmovable. I'm going to hold to the word of God. I'm going to stand on the word of God. I'm going to stay right there. It doesn't matter what the devil comes against me and what kind of lie he tries to tell me. I'm going to go to the word of God and prove the devil wrong. The devil came to Jesus and said, "Why don't you turn these stones into bread?" Jesus had been fasting 40 days. Said, Jesus went to the word of God. It said, "You'll not live by bread alone." Okay, then how about this? How about you cast yourself down from the temple, because it said. See, the devil went to the Bible too. Because it said he'll protect you lest you dash your foot against a stone. You're twisting the word of God. It also says, "Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." See, the devil may try and twist the word of God against the truth, but he'll never stand in the light of truth. Praise God. Let's stand. God bless you. so appreciative of the Word of God and the many blessings the Word of God gives us.